This is special election coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio. Today we feature a debate between both candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District leading up to the May 12th special election. I'm Shereen Siewert, host of Route 51, a regional program based in Wausau. Joining me as co-moderator today is Robin Washington, host of WPR Superior-based talk show Simply Superior. Robin is joining us from Superior. Today, we welcome Republican candidate Tom Tiffany of Minocqua and Democratic candidate Tricia Zunker of Wausau to answer questions about their campaigns, ideas, and the issues facing the 7th District.
The 7th Congressional District is the largest U.S. congressional district in the state. It includes Ashland, Barron, Bayfield, Burnett, Clark, Douglas, Florence, Forest, Iron, Langlade, Lincoln, Marathon, Oneida, Polk, Price, Rusk, Sawyer, St. Croix, Taylor, Vilas, and Washburn counties. It also includes portions of Chippewa, Jackson, Juneau, Monroe, and Wood counties. The special election, just days away, was called by Governor Tony Evers to replace Republican Sean Duffy, who resigned citing family reasons last fall.
First, let me introduce our guests for the hour. Tom Tiffany was elected as state senator for Wisconsin's 12th district in 2012 and has served two terms. He previously served one term in the state assembly. Mr. Tiffany has a degree in agricultural economics from the University of Wisconsin River Falls. Tricia Zunker is a law professor at several universities. In 2013, she was elected by the Ho-Chunk Nation to serve as an associate justice of the Ho-Chunk Supreme Court. She was re-elected to that position in 2017. In 2018, Ms. Zunker was elected to the Wausau School Board and currently serves as board president.
This program is being recorded and is available at WPR.org. After logging in, you can submit questions for our candidates to the chat box on your screen, and please indicate your first name and community of residence.
Our format today is straightforward. After a 60-second opening statement, each candidate will answer identical policy-based questions and will be granted 2 minutes to answer, with an additional minute each for a follow-up comment or clarification. At the end of the hour, we'll give each candidate 60 seconds to offer their final thoughts before we close.
So just before the show aired, we flipped a coin to see who would be first to offer an opening statement. And that decided that Tricia Zunker would go first. Tricia Zunker, why do you want to represent the 7th Congressional District, and what qualifies you?
Well, thank you first to WPR for hosting tonight's virtual debate, and to you, Shereen and Robin, for moderating. My name is Tricia Zunker. I was born and raised in Wausau. I grew up in a strong union household, and my mom is a USW Local 2-224 member to this day. My grandpa was a dairy farmer in Marathon County. I come from humble beginnings, and I know what it is like to live paycheck to paycheck. But there were opportunities in my life that I seized upon, and it allowed me to be a first-generation college graduate, then law school graduate. I'm a member of Ho-Chunk Nation and serve as a judge for my tribe, as well as professor and school board president of the Wausau School District. I'm also a solo parent to an amazing 9-year-old son. I'm running for this seat to be a real representative for the people, to make sure people have affordable health care, economic security, and ensure protection of the environment. Ho-Chunk means people of the big voice, and I'm going to be a big voice for Northern Wisconsin in Congress.
Thank you. And Tom Tiffany, same question. Why do you want to represent the 7th Congressional District, and what qualifies you?
Well, thank you, Wisconsin Public Radio and the Wausau Chamber of Commerce, for putting on this debate this evening. My name is Tom Tiffany. I'm a husband to my wife, Chris. We will be married 25 years this year. We have three daughters, Carlin, Lexi, and Catherine. We were small business owners for 20 years. And I'm also the dam tender on the Willow Flowage. Chris and I are like so many families across Wisconsin. We work two and three jobs to make ends meet. I'm also a citizen legislator. I represent the Northwoods in the state Senate in Madison. These are extraordinary times in America. And one thing we know about Americans, in difficult times, we rise to the challenge. But I'm asking for your vote tonight because I'm tested, I'm proven, and I'll bring a good dose of Wisconsin common sense to Washington, D.C. I really look forward to the questions this evening and sharing my vision of how we get America back up on our feet again.
Congress has passed four major relief bills that aim to give aid to businesses and individuals affected by efforts to slow the spread of COVID-19. Given that most economists think those efforts won't be enough to compensate for high unemployment and reduce consumer spending, what should Congress prioritize in future bills? Tom, your turn to answer first.
Okay. Well, thank you. And thank you for the question. Yes, I think there were some good steps that were taken with the initial bills that were passed. And I think we should do some analysis, take a little pause for a while to see, are these working? It is important that we built a bridge to be able to get people both who are unemployed, as well as those who have their businesses jeopardized at this point through no fault of their own. I think we need to make sure that they have that bridge to be able to get through these difficult times. I will go to work right away after May 12th on making sure that we have that bridge built so we can get to future times of prosperity. One thing that's very disappointing at this point is the House of Representatives is not meeting this week out in Washington, D.C. The leadership has chosen not to. The House of Representatives should be meeting and getting things prepared for what is coming here in the future for the people of the United States. If I'm elected on May 12th, I'm going to be ready to go to Washington, D.C. immediately and go to work and provide leadership for the people of northern and western Wisconsin.
Ms. Zunker?
Okay, first of all, I'm not sure why Senator Tiffany is saying that the House leadership is not meeting. They're convening in virtual sessions. They're having conferences. They're working. It's important to point out that Senator Tiffany was not supportive of the initial coronavirus relief legislation that passed. He spoke out against it, and it was definitely a critical first step. And we need to continue to make sure that our families are taken care of, that our small businesses have the support that they need, that our small and mid-sized farmers have what they need to get through this. We need to make sure that our frontline workers, who are essential workers, have the protection that they need, that they have access to paid sick leave if they are ill. And we need to make sure that people are being educated on this virus appropriately. People are still not understanding how risky coronavirus is. So there's a lot of things that we need to do, and we need to make sure that we have something that is sustainable, that we don't just have a Band-Aid.
Mr. Tiffany, any follow-up?
Yeah, I really appreciate my opponent bringing up the point about the initial bill. I had some concerns in regards to it, and it had to do with the mandatory paid leave that they would have put on employers. As a small business owner with my wife for 20 years, I think about right now is when we would have been starting our season with Wilderness Cruises. If that would have been put on our backs right now and it stayed in place for a couple months, it would have buried us. And not only buried our business, but it would have taken the 10 to 15 people that work for us and put them out of a job. There was a much better way to go about it, and that was to use the unemployment compensation system to do it. And that was my point, is that we can do the bill, but we got to make sure that we do it right. And it would have been to send this through the unemployment system. And that's the same thing I'll do in Washington, D.C. Let's make the right decisions when we go out and put public policy in place for the people of northern and western Wisconsin.
Ms. Zunker, any follow-up?
Yes, as soon as the coronavirus pandemic hit, and we, on our campaign here, canceled all public events for the health and safety of Wisconsinites, but we transitioned virtually. And I had a listening session with voters throughout the district. One is a small business owner who was providing she was providing leave for her employees, and she is able to get a tax break from that initial bill. So it actually was not detrimental to small businesses. It was quite beneficial to her. Another thing that we need to focus on and we need to make sure stays at the forefront here is healthcare. We need to make sure that people have access to the healthcare that they need throughout this. We need to make sure that, you know, if this is considered a pre-existing condition going forward for people that have coronavirus and they become healthy, that they aren't penalized for being susceptible through this global pandemic. People with pre-existing conditions must stay covered.
Well, our next question is, in fact, an opportunity to expand on that. And it begins with you, Tricia Zunker. So millions of Americans who've been laid off amid the pandemic risk losing their health insurance because most people get their health insurance through their employer. What changes, if any, do you think we need to make in our healthcare system?
Well, we absolutely need to expand the Affordable Care Act and make sure that we have affordable, accessible health care. Before this global pandemic hit, I put thousands upon thousands of miles on my car, getting throughout this expansive district, meeting with voters and listening to their concerns. And by and large, what came up time and again was health care. The cost of deductibles is way too high. People are just, they're not able to afford this, and we need to make it affordable and accessible. We need to eliminate the waste, fraud, and abuse that exists with private insurance, and we need to make sure that people have access to the care that they need. I support a robust public option for those that want it, but I did spend immense time meeting with people, and there are people that don't want to be forced off their insurance, and I don't think that we should force somebody off of their current system that they that they like. And we really need to make sure that people with pre-existing conditions stay protected. My opponent does not support protection of pre-existing conditions. That is critical because people that have coronavirus, they will be considered to have a pre-existing condition. They should not be penalized for that. They should stay protected.
Well, let's let him speak for himself. Tom Tiffany?
Yeah, thank you. I'm really glad this issue came up. First of all, let's deal with pre-existing conditions. People can look at my record. I voted to protect people with pre-existing conditions. You can check with my office in Madison. I did that, and I believe that that's very important. But let's talk about pre-existing conditions a little bit. My opponent supports the Affordable Care Act, and then she talks about how the cost of healthcare has gone up. That's what happened as a result of the Affordable Care Act. It made healthcare more expensive and less accessible. And further, we had a very good program for people with pre-existing conditions in Wisconsin up until 2000 called the HRSA program. 100,000 people got their insurance through that. It was eliminated as a result of the ACA. There's a much better way to go about this. First of all, we see all this Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and all the rest. They talk about Medicare for all. Medicare for all will lead to Medicare for none. And the reason for it is we currently have, what, about $25 trillion in debt here in our country? Double debt. So think about all those people that paid into Medicare. This will break the system. Medicare for all will become Medicare for none. So what am I for? Choice, competition, and transparency. And if we do that, bringing control back to the local level, bringing it back to the state level. I mean, we have good state programs, like state program like Badger Care. We also have employers who provide health insurance. I mean, I think about Merrill Steel down in Wausau. They brought their clinic inside their building, and they've reduced the cost of health care to their employees and their dependents. If we wiped out private health insurance, that would not be able to happen. There's a better way to go about that, and that's to give people more choices and more transparency with their health care.
Great. Ms. Zunker, response to that?
Senator Tiffany does not support protecting patients with pre-existing conditions. This is new information that's come to light tonight, but that is certainly not the case. Now, as far as the Affordable Care Act, there are certainly problems that we need to address. We need to tackle affordability. We need to lower the cost of deductibles. We need to make sure that it is affordable and accessible. But, you know, my opponent aligns himself with President Trump, who is currently has a lawsuit to destroy and dismantle the Affordable Care Act without any plan in place. And what that means is that more people will die and more people will go bankrupt with some kind of medical health emergency. That's wrong. We need to fix the system that is currently in place to make sure that people have the health care and the protection that they need.
And Mr. Tiffany responds to the response.
Yeah, check my record. I voted to protect people with pre-existing conditions. But let's talk about solutions. Choice, competition, transparency. Think about how frustrating it is for people, both with pharmaceuticals as well as with healthcare procedures, when we don't know how much they're going to cost. President Trump made a very good and put in place a very important initiative in 2009 to have greater transparency for both pharmaceuticals as well as the cost of medical procedures. And I think that's really important because if we're going to have choice, we have to know how much things are going to cost. And then no two of us are alike in terms of our healthcare needs. A cookie cutter approach from the federal government will not be successful. Just like the ACA, we need to give people more choices, whether it's direct primary care, which is just another word for your family doctor, or to have healthcare from employers like Merrill Steel has provided, or state options that can help people be covered.
The 7th District is made up of more than 23,000 square miles of land, much of which is farmland. Farmers have taken a big beating for the last several years, and the pandemic is really piling it on. As a member of Congress, what can you do specifically for the farmers in the 7th District? Mr. Tiffany, you can answer first.
Yeah, Shereen, this is such an important issue, and you really hit the nail on the head that this has made things much worse for farmers. I grew up on a dairy farm in western Wisconsin, 5 brothers and 2 sisters, and I still have brothers and sisters that run their own farming operations, and I talk to them regularly, and it's tough. I mean, think about dairy prices were just starting to come around after 6 years of depression. In the agricultural sector here in January, milk was getting up to $20 a hundred, and it looked like we were going to be able to turn the corner, and man, it's just crashed basically in half. And in fact, we see farmers that are dumping milk. President Trump put in place a couple weeks ago a good initiative for the USDA to buy up about $19 billion worth of agricultural goods. I think that's a good step to take, and they're going to provide that to food banks. But I think that there is more that can be done. And if there is future legislation that comes up here, and I think there will have to be, we need to make sure that we're protecting our farmers. This has happened to them through no fault of their own. And we need to make sure that those agricultural producers are there for the future. We do not want to become more dependent on other countries for our food supply. So it's really important to keep our farmers, to give them that bridge, to give them that bridge to get through these difficult times and hopefully get back to prosperity. Also, I think we need to continue to promote the trade deals, good trade deals that are for America. A couple that were executed in the last year, the one with Japan was very helpful. Mexico and Canada was starting to really pay some dividends here after having that ratified a few months ago. We need to make sure we have good trade deals that are benefiting agriculture here in America also.
Ms. Zunker, your turn to answer.
Yeah, my opponent points out action by President Trump a few weeks ago and neglected to point out that it's Trump's trade wars that are directly impacting our farmers, not just our dairy farmers, but our ginseng farmers as well. As the granddaughter of a dairy farmer, to see what's happening to our small and mid-sized farmers has been deeply heartbreaking. Washington Republicans have turned their backs on our farmers, and we cannot allow that to happen. There are a number of things that we can do to assist our small and mid-sized farmers. We need to ensure access to competitive markets. We need to eliminate predatory business practices that hurt our small and mid-sized farmers. We need to have access to mental health resources for our farmers. There is a farmer suicide crisis that is happening, and we need to make sure that our farmers have the resources that they need. We need to support our small businesses, because when we support our small businesses, we support our farmers. And we need to ensure broadband access for our farmers, and not just for our farmers. This is throughout the 7th Congressional District. But I put a lot of time out in the district. I've been on farms. I've talked to farmers who say, you know, they are being deprived of opportunity because they don't have solid broadband access. And again, this isn't something that is limited to farms, but it's something we need to focus on for them. So there are a lot of things that we can do to assist our small and mid-sized farmers here in Wisconsin.
Mr. Chair. Yeah, so if I can step in just a second here for the rebuttal.
Yes.
There's definitely work that needs to be done out in Washington, D.C. One of the things that I'm going to request as a congressman is to serve on the Agricultural Committee. The 7th Congressional District is one of the most heavy dairy districts in the House of Representatives, as well as just agriculture generally. So I'm going to dedicate my time, whether I get on that agriculture committee or not, to the work of making sure that our farmers are going to make it through this difficult time, to make sure that we build that bridge. The other thing that I've done a lot of work on that I believe is agriculture-related is the forest products industry, critical industry for the 7th Congressional District. I will be working very closely, just as I have in the legislature, to make sure the forest products industry is heard in Washington, D.C. also.
Ms. Zunker, final comments on that?
Well, Senator Tiffany and I have something in common because I am hoping to be assigned to the Agricultural Committee as well. I believe that we need to have a voice from Wisconsin that can serve on it and advocate for our small and mid-sized farmers. Now, my opponent has made it very clear that he aligns himself with President Trump, that he will be a rubber stamp for anything that Trump does. And President Trump is why our small and mid-sized farmers have been hurting. We have seen skyrocketing bankruptcies on our dairy farms, on our ginseng farms, and we need to have somebody that's going to go to Washington and actually work for the people of Wisconsin 7, work for our farmers, and not just be a rubber stamp for the president.
All right, well, from farming to tourism, large parts of our 7th Congressional District do rely on summer tourism. Even as restrictions start to lift, it's likely that summer travel will be down. We've already seen the cancellation of many summer festivals and sporting events. What should Congress do to help Wisconsin's tourism industry specifically? And I believe this time we start with Trish Zunker.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the tourist industry here in Wisconsin 7. We have some of the most beautiful lands here in the 7th Congressional District in Wisconsin. And for people to not be able to enjoy them this summer, it's upsetting. And I share that frustration. But we need to listen to the medical experts. We need to listen to the scientists. And we need to do what's safe. And so if that means that the businesses are delayed in opening so that we can protect the health and safety of all Wisconsinites, that's the safe and correct choice. But those businesses should be able to continue to survive through this. And I support our tourist industry being able to be provided with the funds that they need to survive through this pandemic.
Yeah, as somebody who was involved with I've been involved with the tourism industry ever since I moved here to northern Wisconsin over 30 years ago, and my wife Chris and I own Wilderness Cruises, it is a big challenge to be able to make it through on what is basically 3 months' income, and to take some of that away over Memorial Day weekend, as we saw a headline in a low, lose hundreds of businesses here in Northern if they're not allowed to open until after Memorial Day. So we need to make sure that we protect people's health and safety. That's very important. But I think we can also take a regional approach. If you listen to Dr. Birx a few weeks ago, when they were putting out the federal guidelines, she said, it's possible to take a regional approach. I think we should be doing that here in Wisconsin when you see far fewer cases here in Northern Wisconsin. And plus, people have been really good about doing the social distancing and making sure that they're following the guidelines that are out there. I think that we can steadily, gradually reopen Wisconsin, including northern Wisconsin, because I think people are being responsible out there. As far as helping the tourism industry, the greatest thing you do to help them is to get them customers. But I look at the Paycheck Protection Plan. I know many tourism-oriented businesses up here have applied for that. And hopefully they're being successful in being able to receive those funds to be able to have that bridge, to be able to get them through this difficult time. I'm going to add one other thing because I see I have a few seconds left, Shereen. We in the legislature authorized to take $2 billion from the federal government and for the state of Wisconsin, and that's almost at Governor Evers' sole discretion to spend. Maybe this is one area, as well as agriculture, that Governor Evers should look at helping them out financially with that $2 billion.
Ms. Zunker?
My opponent supports a regional approach, and unfortunately, coronavirus does not stop at the county line. The situation that he's describing with thousands upon thousands of people flooding into northern Wisconsin for Memorial Day weekend. That is something that is so incredibly risky. We do not have the capacity in our hospitals. We don't want to risk for our healthcare workers to be exposed unnecessarily. Funding for rural hospitals is something that I'm passionate about. We need to have more funding for our rural hospitals. They're already underfunded as it is. And to bring this risk to northern Wisconsin, it's reckless, okay? We need to continue to listen to the experts, listen to the scientists, look at the data. And the reason that we don't have the numbers up here is because we are doing that. We are flattening the curve, and we need to continue to do that. But I support Congress supporting our tourist industries to make sure that they can survive through this with appropriate funding.
And lastly, Tom Tiffany, response?
Yeah. Well, there were thousands and thousands of people here in northern Wisconsin this past weekend for the fishing opener. As a dam tender down in the Willow Flowage, it's right next to the landing there. The landing is right next to the dam on the Willow. And there are all kinds of people down there. And they were doing, they were going out fishing responsibly and all the rest. And so we can do this. We can do both. I mean, we're Americans here. We can do both. We can protect people's health. We know who is most under threat at this point, elderly, the frail elderly, and those with underlying conditions. We know we need to make sure we keep them protected, but then gradually, steadily open up our economy. It's important to do that also. And we're taking great risk having our hospitals closed down at this point. Our hospitals, when you look at them up here, there's very few people in them, and people are turning down non-essential procedures, and that could jeopardize people's health in the future also.
Earlier, we talked about farm workers a bit, but I'd like to expand on that a little bit. About 40% of farm workers in the state are immigrant workers. About a quarter of those are undocumented. So these workers have less access to health care. They're working in industries hard hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. What steps, if any, should be taken to address their working environment and their health care needs? Tom Tiffany?
Well, first of all, we need to make sure that we secure the border. We need to make sure that those people who are coming into our country, that they're documented and that we know who's coming in and out of our country. And then as beyond that, I believe that in terms of healthcare, that their home country should be helping them out. If they're not here legally, they should go to their home country, wherever that is, and they should get their healthcare needs covered in that location. And part of the reason that we need to secure the border is it's not just knowing who's coming in and out of our country. We need to also make sure that we're controlling the flow of methamphetamine. When I talk to local sheriffs here in northern Wisconsin, they're really concerned about the amount of meth that's going in and out of our border. We also have human sex trafficking that's going on across our border. There's a lot of reasons that we need to protect our border. And I believe that we should secure our border.
Ms. Unger.
Okay, so we're talking about healthcare of workers, but there was a lot of mention about securing borders, so I'm going to address that as well. I believe in a comprehensive immigration reform and that we need to secure our border, but not with a border wall. We need to use 20th century technology, not first century technology. As far as the workers on farms and throughout the 7th Congressional District that are not documented citizens that are being exposed to coronavirus, I support our farmers being able to have the labor that they have. I have been on farms throughout this district. I have seen the people working on this farm, on these farms, and I am glad they're here to help our farmers. And I think this notion of saying that people should return to their home country for health care is cruel, it's inhumane, it defies logic, and it's only going to hurt our businesses here, businesses that rely on this labor. I support a pathway to citizenship for tax-paying individuals, law-abiding individuals that are here. I support a pathway to citizenship for individuals that came here as children. They came here through no fault of their own, and this is their home. But individuals that are here and they're working and they are becoming sick because of coronavirus, they absolutely should have health care.
Mr. Tiffany, any follow-up?
Yeah, so what my opponent is calling for is for illegals to be able to get their health care from our government. And I don't think that's fair for the taxpayers of America that they should have to pay for the health care for somebody outside of our country. And I understand they're seeking a better life, but you have to come here legally. This is one of the great failures of Congress, and particularly the House of Representatives. They've had so much time that they could have negotiated an agreement to be able to have a comprehensive agreement in regards to immigration, and they failed. That's something that a future Congress needs to tackle to be able to make sure that we have a secure border, but then also that we have legal people get here legally.
Ms. Unker, any follow-up?
First of all, Senator Tiffany, no human being is illegal. They might be undocumented, they might not have citizenship status, but they are not illegal. What I'm hearing is advocacy for exploitation of workers. Let's allow them to be here until they're sick. We absolutely cannot allow for exploitation of any human being. So I support our farmers being able to have the labor that they have, our small businesses. These are jobs that other people don't want, and they're jobs that need to be done. And our farmers will be hurt, our small businesses will be hurt. And if these individuals become sick, then the right thing to do, the moral thing to do, the ethical thing to do, is to make sure that they have the health care that they need. And also, I will just say, as an Indigenous woman, I can say first and foremost that diversity in this country is an amazing and beautiful thing.
Okay, for the next one, we will start again with you, Ms. Zucker. The U.S. saw more than 700 mass shootings last year, according to the Gun Violence Archive. Some have called for stricter regulations on guns and gun purchases to curb such violence. What, if any, measures should Congress take to regulate firearms?
I support the Second Amendment. I support people being able to protect themselves in their homes, and I support our hunters being able to hunt. But as a mom and as a school board president, I see our children, I see my son having to go through active shooter drills. These students are being told, you need to hide under this desk, you need to hide over in this closet in case somebody comes in with a gun to shoot you or your teacher, and that's wrong. We are unnecessarily traumatizing students, and we are not addressing the real problem here. We do have a gun violence problem here, and we can address this through simple measures like universal background checks. This is something that is an administrative process. This does not infringe on Second Amendment rights. It is simply ensuring that people who purchase guns online or from gun shows have a background check. And I'm not sure why that is so controversial for my opponent, because it doesn't infringe on the Second Amendment. It is simply an administrative process.
Mr. Tiffany?
Yeah, so I support the Second Amendment to the Constitution, and I believe people should have the right to keep and bear arms. In fact, I voted for two bills in the first session of the legislature to allow concealed carry here in Wisconsin. We were one of the last states to allow that. Secondly, we voted for Castle Doctrine. I supported that also for people to be able to protect their homes. So I have a very strong record in regards to the Second Amendment. One of the biggest problems we have across the country, I don't think it's so much here in northern and western Wisconsin, but in other parts of the country, what law enforcement does sometimes is they do not enforce the laws that are on the books. Why should we create new laws in regards to these, the Second Amendment, when the existing ones are not being used? If you take the Parkland shooter down in Florida, he could have been taken off from the streets if the sheriff and other law enforcement down there acted in an appropriate manner on what he was doing. The other thing is that we need more funding for mental health. And I'm very proud in the last budget that we passed, I supported additional money for mental health concerns. And that is one area that we need to make sure that we're helping people out, those who are having a troubled time, to be able to get through that and not have to use illegal means like shooting someone to act out their mental health problems.
Ms. Zucker, response?
Yeah, it's a typical response of Republicans to say, we have existing laws on the books and we should enforce those. They're not working. These laws are not working. We need to have some reforms. These do not infringe on the Second Amendment. Again, universal background checks, making sure that somebody who purchases a gun at a gun show or online goes through a background check. This is a simple way to ensure that somebody who should not have access to a firearm doesn't get one. This is common sense. It is an administrative process. It does not infringe on the Second Amendment.
And Mr. Tiffany, your final remark on this.
Yeah, I have an A-plus rating in regards to the Second Amendment and endorsed by the National Rifle Association. I mean, let's be real honest here. We saw this proposal by Governor Evers back in November here in Wisconsin to have universal background checks. And it is just code for confiscation, because that's ultimately where it leads to. We should not be penalizing honest gun owners out there who just wish to keep and bear arms to be able to exercise their Second Amendment rights. I will always defend the Second Amendment to the Constitution.
We've had several readers and listeners writing in about this question. They want to know, from employment to environmental impacts, the region's mining industry can be a pretty contentious issue. So what role, if any, should the federal government take in the mining industry? Mr. Tiffany, you answer first.
Yes. So the federal government does currently have a role through the EPA in reviewing permits and things like that. So they do have an active role. But I believe most of that action should be taking should take place by the states. And that's consistent with so many issues, whether it's wolves, other issues like that, education. I believe that the states should set their own policies in regards to these issues. Now, I authored the mining legislation here in Wisconsin, and we did two primary things with it. One, we made sure we wrote the toughest mining law in terms of regulations in the United States. Of any state in the country, we have the toughest mining regulations if a company chooses to come here to Wisconsin. The other thing we did is we provided for local control. We made sure that there's local input that goes into any mining permit. And if a local community does not want to have a mine, they're going to be able to have their voice heard.
Ms. Zunker, your take on mining.
Yeah, first of all, as it relates to this alleged bill with the toughest mining regulations, actually made it very easy for the corporate mining interests to come into Wisconsin and destroy our beautiful lands. So that's the opposite of what you just stated, Senator Tiffany. And as far as local input, I actually participated just 2 weeks ago in an Oneida County Board meeting where Badger Minerals was on the agenda, and the board ultimately approved moving forward with a permit, moving it on in committee. And there was extensive public comment against allowing for that permit. People do not want that mine there. So this idea that local input controls is erroneous, it's wrong. I believe that we need to ensure that our beautiful land stay protected from corporate greed, and the role of the federal government, that's an interesting question. I think that we need to ensure we have people in Congress who advocate for the protection of lands, and that's something that I would do absolutely, is make sure that our lands stay protected from corporate greed, including the corporate mining interests.
Mr. Tiffany, is that...
Yeah, I really appreciate my opponent making my point for me. That vote was cast by the Oneida County Committee 5-0 to advance that permit. The zoning director reviewed it, took it before the committee, and the committee said for the initial phase that they could approve it. So it really shows that local input is there, and that it was local people who were casting that vote to allow this initial exploration. And remember, in this case, that it was just exploration that's going on here. This is not a full-blown mining permit that was issued. That would take a much, much more rigorous review, including a full-blown environmental impact statement that would have federal review, including by the Army Corps of Engineers.
Ms. Zunker, one final follow-up to that.
Actually, Senator Tiffany, I did not make your point for you. I stated very clearly that many people spoke out in that meeting against that mining company being permitted the permit. I think that it's very important to listen to the constituents. That is something that is number one priority for me. I will seek to restore the amazing constituency services that Congressman Dave Obey, who has endorsed me in this race, by the way, had here in the 7th Congressional District. And what I witnessed and what I experienced at the Oneida County meeting was individuals on that board who did not listen to their constituents.
All right, the next one will begin with Ms. Zunker, and we'll take it more globally. Are the tariffs that President Trump imposed helping or hurting the American economy?
They are hurting the American economy. We've seen that with our dairy farmers. We've seen that with our ginseng farmers. We need to make sure that we have somebody who has an eye on Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District and looks to see how our businesses are going to be impacted, how our farmers are going to be impacted. My opponent has made it incredibly clear that he is going to be a rubber stamp for anything that Trump says or does. And I'm going to be vocal for actually the people here of Wisconsin 7th Congressional District who have been hurt by the trade, by Trump's tariffs.
Mr. Tiffany?
First of all, be sure to tell those steel workers and those people that work up in the taconite mines in northern Minnesota that live in Superior about how bad those tariffs are, because it's very much helping that industry over the last couple years. There's been some good trade agreements. I mean, President Trump made it very clear from the very start when he first started campaigning that these were bad trade deals for America. And the people in America agree with them, especially here in the heartland. They saw that these trade deals were not fair. It may be free trade, but it certainly was not fair trade. He's renegotiated an agreement with Japan that is that was being especially helpful to our farmers. And then the USMCA, the Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, that has been doing good things. It's part of the reason why we saw milk turning the corner in January. And unfortunately, the pandemic has brought the boom down now once again on agriculture. But we were seeing those trade agreements that President Trump was negotiating were being highly successful. And he was even getting China to take more of our products, if you remember, back in the latter part of 2019. And it's part of the reason why it's really important that he get reelected here in 2020 is that we need somebody that's tough enough to take on China. And of course, we have far more issues with China than just trade. But on the trade front, he's been tough, and we need to continue to do that with China so they treat us in a fair fashion.
Ms. Zunker, your response to that?
We absolutely need to get tough on China, but not at the expense of our small and mid-sized farmers and not at the expense of our manufacturing jobs. I'm really glad that my opponent has vocalized his support of President Trump being reelected, because what that signals is the fact that he's striving for more people to be without affordable, accessible health care, without pre-existing conditions covered. We need to make sure that we have a president in office who's going to make sure as many people are covered, that people have access to the health care that they need, that their pre-existing conditions are covered without penalty. And that is what is so critical about this upcoming election, health care. People need to have health care. They need to make sure that they have what they need.
And Mr. Tiffany, on tariffs,
yeah,
by the way.
I mean, who better? We've got a really difficult time that we're going through at this point, and it's going to continue here for at least a few more months, you know, maybe longer than that. But then at some point, after having that bridge, getting through this difficult time, we're going to want a leader who's going to take us back to prosperity, that knows how to go about doing that. I can tell you, with my 20 years of experience as a small business owner, I know what it takes in terms of don't reduce taxes, don't put more regulations in place. And that's what President Trump has done in his time in office, is he has reduced taxes, leaving more money in people's pockets, and reduced regulations so there's less red tape strangling others. And I, as we get through this difficult time, no better person to lead us back to prosperity.
More than two dozen women have accused Donald Trump of sexual misconduct or sexual assault. Donald Trump has said that all 25 women are lying. More recently, a woman has come forward to accuse Joe Biden of sexual assault. This is something Biden denies. How should voters consider these accusations? And really, what's the role of personal character in choosing an elected leader? Tom Tiffany, this question starts with you.
Yeah, I believe personal character is important. And I think about my family. I think about my mom. She lost my dad back in the mid-80s, and she continued to run that farm all the way through that time. She owned that business, and she operated it. I have two sisters. Both of them are small business owners, and I have nothing but the greatest respect for what they do. And remember, I have three daughters. I have three daughters, and my wife and I treat them with respect. We want them to grow up to be good adults, good responsible adults here in America. I will always make sure that I treat women with respect. I always have. And I believe everyone should do that.
Tricia Zunker, what is your view?
I believe that women deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. And I believe if they step forward, they should be heard. I also believe that stories must be subject to proper scrutiny and inquiry. I'm a judge, and I would never take one side over another without fully fleshing out the details. I think this also really highlights that journalists and responsible news organizations have to make a choice to evaluate facts, consistency, and credibility, because we have one accuser with Joe Biden, we have, 25 with President Trump, and there's varying degrees in credibility on both sides there. Ultimately, though, my focus is not on that situation. My focus is on helping the people of Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, helping us resume life from this pandemic, ensuring affordable, accessible health care and economic security, and protecting the environment. That's where my focus is right now, because we have been without representation here for far too long. We need somebody who spent time listening to voters and hearing concerns, and that's me.
Mr. Tiffany, follow up?
Yeah, I am trusted, I'm proven, I've been tested, I've dealt with a whole variety of issues through the years, both running my own business, employing people, as well as serving in the legislature and really passing important legislation. And I have always given that job the utmost respect. And I will continue to do that out in Washington, D.C. if I'm elected. And I treat everyone fairly and with respect.
Ms. Zunker, any final comments?
I think it's incredibly interesting that we are having this conversation on character of elected officials while my opponent is running the most repugnant attack ad against me, full of falsities, full of lies, things that are, there's no truth whatsoever. I am a solo parent, and if something were to happen to me based on that attack ad and leave my child an orphan, that would be terrible. So we're talking about character. This is really an interesting conversation. I really appreciated those comments that you made about your character.
All right. Well, now we'll move on to climate change. What is your perspective on climate change, and what steps do you believe Congress should take to address it? And we'll begin with Ms. Zunker.
Yeah, climate change is an urgent and existential threat, and we need to take it seriously. I believe that we need to listen to the scientists and listen to the experts, and we need to address this climate emergency with the urgency that it requires. We need to take steps to reduce our carbon footprint. We need to focus on sustainable, renewable energy. We need to bring good jobs here, good paying jobs to Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. And that includes green, clean jobs. I also believe that we need to ensure clean air, clean water, and that our beautiful land stay protected from corporate greed for generations to come. Climate change is a really serious deal here in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, where we have so much agriculture, and it is affecting our farmers. So we have to take immediate steps And that is something that I am focused on.
Mr. Tiffany?
When I talk to people, well, I hear a couple different things in regards to climate change. I talk to my kids about it, talk to a lot of people about that. And one of the main things I hear is that let's make sure we do the right thing by the environment. Let's make sure that we protect the environment. And I just think about my past. I've served as a dam tender for nearly 30 years out on the Willow Flowage. We create clean energy. That's clean energy, clean hydropower. And as a result of the dams up here, including the one that I take care of, we get about 15% more electricity that's produced in central Wisconsin as a result of that. I think that's a good environmentally sound thing to do. I think about as owners of Wilderness Cruises, the first chance that we got to put on the cleaner, more efficient four outboards a little over 20 years ago, we put them on. It was with considerable expense, but it was the right thing to do. And then I think about my legislative career. Right now, we've got a project going on up on Dead Pike Lake in Vilas County in the town of Manitowish Waters. That lake has been ignored for years. Back in the 1950s, there was a grand experiment that was done up there by the precursor of the Department of Natural Resources. Well, it went bad. And since then, Dead Pike Lake has had iron flock flowing in there, really harming one of the most beautiful lakes up in Vilas County. And action was not being taken. The federal government listed it as an impaired lake just a couple years ago. I have led the fight with the people of the town of Manitowish Waters, clean, and I will continue to do things just like that to make sure that we have one of the greatest, best places to live here in the United States in northern Wisconsin.
Ms. Sunker, your response?
Yeah, my opponent is discussing his protection of waters, yet is such an advocate for the corporate mining interests that fund his state elections. There's no such thing as safe sulfide mining. And by making it easier for the corporate mining interests to drill our beautiful lands, there is such risk to our land and to our waters. As far as climate change, we also have to get back in the Paris Agreement. My opponent has made it clear he is aligning himself as a rubber stamp for Trump. Trump took us out of this Paris Agreement, and abandoning this agreement is absolutely cruel to future generations. It leaves a less safe and productive world for our future generations. So we need to address climate change. It's hurting our environment. It's hurting our farmers. We need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, reduce the use of fossil fuels, and focus on sustainable, renewable energy.
And Mr. Tiffany.
I'm really happy that my opponent brings farmers into this discussion here in regards to climate change, because she supports the by the representative from New York when she introduced it, that this was going to put agriculture out of business. The 7th Green New Deal will farmers out of business. My opponent supports the Green New Deal. I reject that. There is a much better way to go about making sure that we keep our environment clean. And I have worked on those things both privately and personally. So I think there's just a clear choice here. If you're in agriculture, you better be very wary of what they're proposing with that Green New Deal.
We have time for just one more question before we move on to your final statements. And in the interest of time, we'll limit your answer to this question to 1 minute apiece. The U.S. has spent trillions of dollars in wars in Iraq and Afghanistan during the war on terror. My question is, are we spending too much or too little on defense? And Tom Tiffany, you have 60 seconds.
Shereen, could you quickly restate your question?
Absolutely. Are we spending too much or too little on defense, given the trillions of dollars we've spent on wars in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Yeah. So I believe in peace through strength, and we need to make sure we have a strong military to keep countries like Iran, North Korea, and others at bay who would like to take advantage of us. But we need to be smarter about whether we go to war or not. And it is time to end the forever wars. We continue to be in the Middle East. ever since, what was it, 2003 or 2004. It is time to get out of the forever wars. We spent way too much money over there. And most importantly, we lost so many lives over there that really were unnecessary. I know for me, I believe that we should be very cautious about getting into these military engagements in the future.
Tricia Zunker.
Thanks, Shireen. So I'm going to give credit where credit is due. And when Trump was running for president, he said he was going to bring our troops home. And I really like that because we need to stop funding never-ending foreign conflicts. We need to bring our troops home. We need to do it safely. We need to respect our allies in the process. But we are wasting so much money. We are spending so much money where we can be spending that here in the United States, putting it towards things here. So we need to absolutely bring our troops home. We need to stop funding never-ending foreign conflicts.
It is time now for a closing statement. Ms. Zunker, in 30 seconds, please give us your final thoughts.
Well, I just wanted to say again, thank you for tonight. Now more than ever, we need someone in office who's going to advocate for affordable health care and economic security for all Wisconsinites. I'm prepared to do that. I'm going to take on Big Pharma and lower the cost of prescription drugs, provide the help that's needed for small businesses and farmers, and funding to expand rural broadband access. I have the moral fiber, work ethic, and experience to get the job done for you in Congress, and I'm going to advocate for every person in this district, whether they voted for me or not. I'm going to put partisan politics aside and work hard to make life better here in Wisconsin. I will be accountable to the people, not outside interests. I'll prioritize constituent services to ensure people get the help they need. It will be a great honor to represent the people of Wisconsin in Congress, and I humbly request your vote.
And Mr. Tiffany, final thoughts, 30 seconds.
Well, thank you, Wisconsin Public Radio, for putting on this forum tonight. And you can count on me. I'm going to secure the border. I'm going to protect life, including the unborn. And I'm going to defend the Second Amendment, your Second Amendment rights to the Constitution. And also, folks, I'm going to hold China accountable for what they unleashed on the world. You have someone in Tom Tiffany who's tested, proven, and I'll bring a good dose of Wisconsin common sense to Washington, D.C. I hope to earn your vote on May 12th.
This concludes WPR's special election coverage, featuring candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, Tom Tiffany and Tricia Zunker, in advance of the May 12th election. I'm Shireen Seward. I'd like to thank Robin Washington for co-moderating today's debate. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our director is Dean Kallenbach in Eau Claire, who is also a producer of today's program. Paul Damberg in Superior is co-producer today. Our webcast was made possible by the Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce. Special thanks to Danielle Kading and Rob Menser. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org. Thank you for listening.